Well, this month we're gonna be teaching on healing, and the reason I want to teach on healing, there's several reasons. One reason is every time that we have Jeremy Gall in it, and he ministers so much to people with sickness, it reminds me that we have sick people in our church. So that's one reason. Another reason is because all of us deal with our bodies, and our bodies, whether we like it or not, our bodies, we are constantly fighting off the decay of this world that comes against our bodies. You know what I mean? Like, we're aging, and the Bible says that this outward man is perishing, and so it's a constant process, you know, which we could all give witness to as we get older. But praise the Lord. Thank God that we have the Word and the Spirit of God who's within us. Also, a reason that I think it's important for us to talk about this and kind of study it like we're going to do for these next few weeks is because healing is one of those things that if you don't need it tonight, you go ahead and store it up because you will need it. It's one of those things that it's just like if you don't need, you know, help with your finances tonight, go ahead and study up on that because you're going to need. There are just certain things we need in life. And it seems like that health and healing is one of those things. And finally, I want to talk about it because of this. People around you in your life and people that you know and are going to know and going to come in contact with, they really need God's healing power. And that's one thing that you have inside of you, and knowing how to minister God's healing power to people is really, it's really helpful for you, but it's also really, you know, it's a dramatic, what am I trying to say? It's good for other people. So praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and get started. You ready tonight? Talk about being of God's will is healing. And I just want to remind you as we get started, I always like to, no matter what we're talking about, I always like to start with God's original intent and purpose, which we would find if we went to the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis, when we see how God made man. Because if God had originally made man in a certain way, I would think that that was an indication of what his intention was for man. Before we had the serpent in the garden, before we had sin, before we had them eating from the fruit of the knowledge of good, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, before all that happened, God made man and he intended him to be a certain way. He designed him. And so if God intended for man to be sick, when he made man, he would have made him sick initially. But there's no record or indication that in the Garden of Eden that man was sick, that he was, you know, that he had paralysis. He wasn't diabetic. There was no indication that man had arthritis, that man had any of the things that people deal with today. There was no indication that he was on a prescription for high blood pressure. There was none of that going on in the Garden of Eden. And we have every reason to believe from what it says there that man was in perfect health. And that man seemed to be on a trajectory of never dying. He didn't know death, and it seemed like his body was designed to live forever, and science has even discovered that the body itself, the cells are replenished. In other words, the body that's sitting on the chair right there in your chair was probably not even any of that body, probably wasn't even here 7 to 10 years ago, if you consider the cells are renewed very often in our bodies, but for some reason as they're renewed, they decay. And so there's some really weird thing happening to us. But it seems like that our bodies were designed to continue on and on. And we know that at the end of time, whenever that is, when all this passes away, we are going to have what the Bible calls a glorified body. It sounds pretty good. You like to trade in your car and get a new model? I tell you, this is going to be the model that we all have got to have. Today, Apple announced their new iPhone. Who cares? We're getting a new body. It's going to be a lot better. A lot better than a new iPhone. And we're getting a glorified body. But that body is a body that'll live forever. So obviously God's got you and living forever on his mind, you know. So that was the original intention. But we don't see anything about the body starting to break down or sickness or disease until after the fall of man. Which makes sense. Because what do we know that Romans says? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages, or the payday of sin is death. And we all know that sickness is, you know, death working in our bodies. Sickness is a form of death, because I always say if you get sick bad enough, long enough, you'll be dead. And so sickness is a form of death working in the body. So can we all just agree that when God made us, he didn't make us sick? Can we all agree? Has anybody got a problem with that? And so it seems like if he wanted us to be sick, he would have made us sick to start with. But he didn't seem to, and we don't see any indication of it until sin came on the scene. So there must be a connection between sin and sickness, which there is. That death that's working. The Bible calls it the law of sin and death that works on even our bodies. And so there's the problem. Now, whenever God dealt with people, and we really see him come on the scene in a big way when he started dealing with a man named Abraham. Y'all remember Abraham? When he started dealing with Abraham and he made what the Bible calls a covenant or a contract or an agreement with Abraham, he said certain things to him, and not just to him, but to those that would follow after him and trust in God the same way that Abraham did. And to those people, he made promises, and some of the promises that he made to them had to do with their bodies. So healing was not just something introduced in the New Testament. Healing was on the scene from as far back as God began to deal with man. Because he said to the children of Israel in Exodus 15, he said, I want you to know me for who I am, for I'm the Lord God who heals you. And if you know anything, and if you've studied any of the Hebrew, you know that one of the names that the Hebrews had for God was what? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, the Lord God, your healer. And so he revealed himself even early on as their healer. It wasn't like man was sick, 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 sick with no hope, and then Jesus came and he introduced healing. Actually, there was healing under the Old Covenant. And if you study in the Old Testament, there were times where healing came on the scene and people were healed. And there were even prophets who raised people from the dead. And there were times when people were delivered from sickness and disease, even in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, before Jesus. Why? Because even then, God wanted his people to be well. Now, one of the most interesting to me parts of the Old Testament, which I'm probably going to read in a little bit. Yeah, I'll wait and just read it in a minute. But is in Deuteronomy 28, where it lists the blessings of the, you know, of the covenant, the blessings of keeping the law and the curse. Do any of y'all remember that in Deuteronomy 28? That's where it says you're blessed when you go in and, you know, when you come out and in your storehouse and in your basket. Y'all know that? Fruit of your body, for you, all those things, all those blessings. Well, that's the first like 14 verses or 13 verses, but after that, it's the cursings. And we're going to talk about in a minute, but a lot of what's in there is terrible, awful, really bad diseases and nasty things that you would never want in your body. And you should read it one day, because we have been redeemed from those things. But that's getting ahead of us. Okay, so there we go. So man's in this awful state. Man, God made man in a really good spot. He made him whole in his body, designed to live forever, his body to be renewed continuously. He was to enjoy fellowship with God, to live in the life of God, to breathe, and, I mean, man, to have a good life. But then sin came on the scene. The whole world fell under the curse. Man's body fell under that curse, and sickness showed up, and death started working on bodies. Ouch. Bad stuff. And then we start seeing terrible things happening to people's bodies. And still, even in that place, God was looking for a way to bring health and healing to people. But what he did only could help a few people, those that were of the lineage of Abraham, those who were of the faith line of Abraham. And so God wanted to restore man fully. The story of redemption, you know this. He wanted to restore man fully. And so what did he do? In order to restore man fully, what did he do? He sent Jesus. Yes, it's not a hard question. My kids always tell me that back in the youth, that the answer to every question, if you don't know what the answer is, you always say, Jesus. So whatever the question, you know, that's, and probably do it in Hydroforce too. If you ever get called on, I'm sure they do it in the middle school class. If you ever get called on and you're not paying attention, you always look up and say, Jesus? Because that's like the answer to like half the questions, or else they think that's the answer to half the questions. I know it's really not, but that's what they think. So if I ever ask you a question you don't know, you can always go with Jesus. That's it. Okay. All right. If you have a Bible tonight, let's turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 should be, you know, an area in your Bible that's well-worn. I'm going to actually read tonight from the Amplified, but any version is good. And I want you to see, now understand Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet or a seer under the Old Testament. And so the way I always envision it is this, that Isaiah was a man that God spoke to and gave him supernatural vision, and he could look down through time. He was looking down through the ages ahead. God opened his eyes and showed him what was to come. And when he looked ahead, he saw something. And Isaiah 53 indicates that what Isaiah was looking at was Jesus hanging on a cross at Calvary. And at that point, Isaiah had never heard of Jesus. He knew there was a Messiah to come. He was being shown that, but he's looking at a scene and he's seeing things happen. I believe it just that God just sort of played out the passion of Christ right in front of Isaiah, and he's watching it take place, and he says some things, and you can read Isaiah 53 and see that. But when he gets down to verse 4, he's making some observations. He's speaking about what he's seeing when he sees Jesus suffering and bleeding and dying. And he says that in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs. He's speaking in the past tense about something that is to come. Isn't that interesting? Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. And he's carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. So when that scene was playing out before him, just as it did when it actually played out that we see later in the Gospels, Jesus was so marred and disfigured by what happened to him at Calvary that it looked like only God himself could do such a torturous thing to man. Only, you know, obviously this is God's affliction on this man because he's so messed up. And really, if what the scripture says here is true, all sickness and disease was put on Jesus there at Calvary. So that would really mess you up. Because, I mean, you can get one or two things that'll mess you up. I mean, we don't see that much because we had it away. You know, we're polite people in our nice Western culture, and we had it away. But in some nations where they don't have the money to hide you away, or people don't have access to health care, you can see some really rough stuff. Isn't that true? I mean, we've all seen the pictures. But imagine a man's body that was carrying sickness and disease, not to mention sin was laid on him. But just the form, I mean, he didn't even look human when they looked at him. And that's what Isaiah was seeing. And he was saying here, I'm looking at somebody who's bearing it all. But he goes on because God gave him a revelation as he was looking at Jesus. And he said, look, what's happening to this man that I'm seeing? He was wounded. These wounds, this that's happening to him was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being, which addresses emotional and mental issues, that was upon him. So everything that was needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes, and y'all remember from studying through the scriptures about what happened to Jesus, Jesus was beaten. How many of you saw the Passion of the Christ? That was like the worst part of the movie is when they were beating him. Remember that? And they had him tied up and they were whipping him. That was actually, during that time, he was being punished and beaten specifically for physical healing. During that wasn't, I mean, as they were beating him, as the Romans were beating him, they were doing it for punishment. But in the eyes of God, that was being the penalty for sickness and disease, and the punishment of all that was being put on him, and he was bearing that for you and me. Oh, it was brutal. Oh. But that was happening for our sake. All that, the stripes that wounded him, because he endured that, then you and me are healed and made whole. Just the same, just the same, the exact same thing as when Jesus sinned. He took all sin on himself because you and me were sinful and you and me needed punishing for our sins. That's in that same way, exactly the same, he took sickness and disease. Because you and me deserve sickness and disease, he got it, so we don't have to have it. It's not necessary for us to have it. And it always, whenever I really think about this and meditate this and study it, it really then, if you really consider it, that Jesus bore my sin, then it would be an affront to him for me to sin if he bore my sin, right? Well, in that same way, if Jesus really bore my sickness and my disease, then it's really kind of an insult to him for me to bear it too. It's an insult really to what he did. He did something for me, but I'm like, I'll take it. It's really an insult to him. If you consider it and play it all the way out, it's, you know, because honestly, people seem like, a lot of Christians, it seems like in their mind, healing is sort of an option. It's kind of like an optional thing. Kind of like how some people treat a 401k plan on their job. You know, it's there and I can take advantage of it, or, you know, and I probably should and I wish I did, but instead I'm going to just spend all my money and not save any. It's sort of like that. But it's not the same. Healing is a benefit for us. But I'm telling you, because of what Jesus did to get our healing, we should value it a whole lot more than we do. We should look at it like, wait a minute, Jesus paid a terrible price so I could be healed. Now, what in the world am I doing putting up with sickness and disease when Jesus went to all that trouble? Because he really went to some awful, awful, awful pains for you and me to be free. So it makes no sense for you and me to just walk around and take it. That's a little bit convicting. I'll just let that sink in. Okay. Praise the Lord. So now that happened, and this is all, you know, a long time before Jesus ever showed up. But Isaiah saw all this. But I like that. I like that he saw it and he said, and I want to tell you, some people, just a little side note, some people interpret these verses in Isaiah where it says, by his stripes we are healed. I've heard people say this, Susie, that's talking about spiritual healing. By his stripes we're healed spiritually. But I just want to remind you that if you know anything about the New Testament, if you understand anything about the new birth, we were not healed spiritually. We were born again. Jesus didn't look at Nicodemus and say, you must be healed spiritually. He looked at Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. There's a really big difference between being healed and being born again. We became a new person. We weren't healed spiritually. We became a completely different creation than what we were. So we weren't healed spiritually. And really, when you look at this and you go to the words that were originally written and you study it, it's very plain. It's talking about physical healing. All right. So that happened. And then again, it's interesting. Here's another reason that I know it's not spiritual healing is because of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, it said, when evening had come, they brought to him, that's Jesus, many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So in Matthew 8, Jesus is working this work and he's delivering people. They're being set free from sickness, it says, that was in this case, in these cases, the sickness in these people's lives, a lot of these people, it was enforced at least by an evil spirit of some sort. Doesn't mean if you're sick, it doesn't mean you have an evil spirit. It doesn't mean you're possessed by the devil. But obviously it's a work of Satan in some way. His influence is involved in it some way. And so Jesus cast it out and they looked at that. Matthew recorded it and said, look, this is fulfilling what Isaiah said. This is what Isaiah was talking about over there in what we call chapter 53 when he said he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He was talking about this guy and the work that he would do and the healing and help he would bring. And I want to remind you, it says he healed them all. So it wasn't like he did this for one or two people any more than he saves one or two or three people or he forgives one or two or three people. He has healing for all of us. He has salvation for every person, whosoever will. And there's healing for the same people that salvation is for, healing is for them, whosoever will. Okay, so there was Matthew looking back. He's observing what's actually happening and he's saying, hey, this is some of that stuff Isaiah was talking about. Now, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And these are really good, solid scriptures for you to know. This is redemption 101. 1 Peter 2 verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. How many of y'all believe Jesus bore your sins? We believe that, don't we? We believe it. And there are a lot of people who really believe that. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who believe that Jesus bore our sins, but that's not the same number that believes Jesus bore our sickness. It's like, Jesus bore our sins, Jesus bore our sicknesses. There's a big disparity in those two numbers. But yet, if you understand redemption, it should be the same number because it's all the same thing. It's the same act, the same penalty, the same punishment, the same sacrifice. To deal with the same problem, because sin was the problem. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And I love this, and then Peter just throws in here, by whose stripes you were healed. In Peter's mind, when sin was taken care of, sickness was taken care of. Being set free from sin, in Peter's mind, in his recognition, was the same as being set free from sickness. It was all the same to him. He didn't like start a whole new thought over here about healing. He didn't talk about, okay, here's sins and you've been made right with God and Jesus bore your sins and we've been made righteous now. Okay, and then over here, now let's talk about healing and all that. No, to him, it was all one big, you know, ball. You know, where did the penalty for sickness, you know, the punishment, where was the punishment that he took so you could be healed? Where did that end? And the punishment for your sins, where did that start? Well, it didn't. It was all the same because it all came out of the same thing. Sin brings forth sickness because it eventually brings forth death. So it all comes. So the same penalty, the same punishment, the same blows, the same blood that was shed, it was all, not just for sin, but it also all took care of sin and sickness at the same time. It was all covered together. You can't separate the two. So if somebody really believes that Jesus bore their sins, they should just understand by the nature of where sickness came from. They should understand that he bore their sin, sickness as well. It's all the same. And I want you to have that in your mind. I want you to get a hold of that. Now, let's just really be honest here tonight. There are some of us in here tonight that we wouldn't put up with sin. Probably some in here who would. But let's just give you the benefit of the doubt. It's Wednesday night. Come on. You made a little extra effort to get here. We don't give out gold stars on Wednesday nights just for Sunday morning. So you made a little extra effort to get here. So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, heaven only requires you go to church once a week, I think. So you're just wasting it here. Can I get extra credit in heaven for Wednesday night attendance? No. Not getting any extra. All right. Y'all know I'm just teasing, right? Okay. So here we are. The reality is that there are some of us in here that we would resist sin. If the opportunity and the temptation, you know, for sin came our way, if we were going to steal, if there was some, you know, if there was a big stack of $100 bills up here, nobody was watching it, and we turned off the lights, you might think I can go up there and get a couple. You might think I really need a couple. But I think most of you could resist. And you would resist. And you think that wouldn't be right to go to the church and steal the money. right? You'd resist that temptation to sin. Do y'all know what it's like to resist a temptation to sin? Am I the only person that ever has to resist that? It's usually not that one I'm resisting. Do what?
Hot fudge today.
Oh, hot. Okay. Well, now we're in deep sin. So let's not go there. Okay. So not that. But yet, this temptation to be sick. We just, you know, we don't have the same reaction to that, do we? We don't even see it as a temptation to be sick. It's kind of like, we're sick. Give me the thermometer. You know, call in to work. I need a prescription. Give me a, you know. Give me a whole bunch of sympathy. You know, I mean, we have a completely different reaction to sickness than we do to sin. But yet, shouldn't we have the same reaction to both? Shouldn't we resist sickness like we would sin? Shouldn't we? If both are works of the enemy, if both come from the same place, if both are born out of the fall of man and from the law of sin and death, shouldn't we resist it in the same way? But I'm going to tell you, very, very few, if any, people really have that kind of conviction about sickness. It's like this whole other thing to us. And honestly, a lot of times it's kind of optional in our mind. You know, I'll be a little bit sick. I just don't want to be a whole lot sick. I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, for myself, it's easy to put up with a little bit of sickness. Now, I don't want to be real sick. And I don't really want to really hurt. But, you know, maybe I want to sleep a little longer. You know what I mean? So I better not get into all this. I'm really kind of treading, I can see right here, on some really thin ice. And so I'm going to just go on. But honestly, think about that. And I know this, whatever you're comfortable with, well, we'll just go back to what the Bible says, what Jesus said, whatever you allow, whatever you permit, heaven allows, heaven permits. That's why you can sin so freely. And heaven won't interrupt you being sick if you want to be sick. Very quiet in here. But it's the reality. Come on, y'all. I figured out as long as I allow it, God allows it. All right, we'll go along here. All right, so that all happened. Now I'm going to read those verses I wanted to read. This is a really great verse in Deuteronomy 28 because Jesus paid the penalty through what he did. And we see those three references before Matthew observing and Peter looking back at what Jesus did. And then I really like it because Galatians 3:13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And it's referring back to Deuteronomy 28 when the curse of the law is listed out there. And part of the curse is Deuteronomy. And that's a really interesting chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 28, because there's blessings and then there's cursings that are pronounced for breaking the covenant, breaking the law. But verse 61 is really interesting. It says, also, so it's listed all these terrible things, and I'd read them if we had time, but we don't. And then he says, also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of the law. So anything that hasn't been discovered yet, that man hasn't caught from a monkey yet, you know, whatever it is. I mean, because, you know, that some diseases hadn't been, you know. It's interesting if you read origin of diseases, some of them come from animals. I was reading about the bubonic plague recently. They think it came from, I mean, it wiped out, was it a third of Europe? Yeah, it came through the rats, but they think it originated up in Mongolia. But it got transferred from the rat to rat through the fleas. And then the fleas got on the people. And there's the plague. Another reason not to have fleas. But even if, I mean, at that point, maybe they'd never had the bubonic plague at that point, you know? The Black Death hadn't come, but it was covered in Deuteronomy 28. So in case there's a new disease that comes out, I remember when first AIDS came out and people freaked out. They were freaked out. The early days of that, when they really weren't quite sure how it was being spread, they were freaked out. I mean, It's interesting now. You go to some highly populated places. I remember the first time we were ever in Japan, we went to Tokyo. I'd never seen this. There were people, because we went in the wintertime, there were people everywhere with surgical masks, what I thought was a surgical mask on. Now I understand it's pretty popular in Asian countries because they're so highly populated and people live in such close proximity and they understand how germs are transmitted. They wear these, you know, masks so they don't breathe on each other. Isn't that interesting? We don't do that here. We just go ahead and just put our germs on everybody. Hug them anyway, you know, just rub their hands. But anyway, it's very interesting. But put all that aside. Okay. Every sickness, every plague, which is not written in this book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you're destroyed. Now, I'm not going to take time to explain that, but that was the curse. It was going to come on people. All of them. So anything that was and anything you haven't thought of and hadn't been discovered. So whatever sickness or disease that you would ever encounter, even if the Lord tarries 1,000 years from now, if there's a whole new bunch of sickness and disease, it's all covered. We can thank the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, Jesus came, as you know, and bore the penalty of sin, but in his ministry, and bore the penalty of sin, so he bore sickness and disease, but in his ministry, he showed us some things too. And I just want to read from John chapter 5. So I just want to remind you about Jesus, because I think people today have forgotten about Jesus. It says in verse 19 of John chapter 5, it says, "Then Jesus answered and he said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does,'" speaking of the Father, "'the Son also does in like manner.'" So in other words, Jesus was saying here and in other places that he came to show us the Father. He came to express the desire of the Father. Like I told you, we saw in the Garden of Eden before sin, that was, to me, an expression of God's desire for man. Well, another place we can see an expression of God's desire for man is in the ministry of Jesus. So if Jesus didn't do it, then the Father's not doing it. But if Jesus did do it, then the Father is doing it. If Jesus would say it, then the Father would say it. But if Jesus isn't saying it, then the Father's not saying it. Can you agree with that? Does that make sense? Jesus was an expression of the Father. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. So he came to show us the Father. So we can look at what Jesus did or didn't do, what he said or didn't say, and we can determine by him what God is like, what the will of God is like, what God is expecting, his plan, his purpose, his intention. Do we all agree on that point? Okay, so that's somewhere else we can look and see. Now, I don't have time tonight to go through the ministry of Jesus. I encourage you every now and then to read your Bible, perhaps read in the Gospels. Get out of Revelation for a while. Get into the Gospels. Excuse me. You should get, if you weren't here Sunday, you should get the message. Okay. But anyway, we see in his ministry some really great things that happen. And let's talk about some of them. Jesus said in John 10:10 something. He said, "I've come to bring you something, to give you something. Life. And life more abundantly." Interesting. Jesus didn't say, "I've come to give you sickness or disease." He never said, "I've come to give you death." Here from the Father, a big package of death. Cancer. Because I've heard people say this cancer is from God. But yet Jesus never came and gave someone cancer. There's no record that Jesus ever called forth the crowd, "Come for you, cancer of the esophagus. For you, pancreatic cancer. For you, the ovaries, cancer for the ovaries." Did you ever see that? That's absurd. But yet that's what people say all the time. They say, "God gave this to me." And then they have an explanation of why they're so special that God gave it to them. But they're misinformed. They're deceived. And they don't know the scripture. Because Jesus came to give us life. And if you study about that life, that's the God's life, the God kind of life. There's no death in it. And it, he went on to say, not just life, but give it to you more abundantly till it overflows. Meaning not just down in your spirit, but till it comes up and upon you in every way and affects every part of your life, including your body. That's good preaching. So there you go. And then Jesus said in 1 John 3:8, a really great scripture. He said that he came to destroy the works of the devil. So we can assume that when Jesus went around and put something out, put an end to something, stopped something, cast something out, that it was a work of the devil. And you look and see, did Jesus ever cast out healing or health? But we have many records of Jesus casting out sickness, disease, infirmity, malformity, malfunction. Right? Over and over, over and over and over again. And many times it says not only that he healed one special person who had found high favor with God and was extra good. Such a faithful man. Such a good man. For you, there's healing. No, the Bible says that he healed them all. He healed them all. And surely in a crowd that had multitudes in it, we know of places where there were 4,000 and 5,000 men. And where there's men, there's usually women. And when there's women, there's always children. So we had a big crowd that day, and that wasn't the only day. There were lots of days where there were thousands of people. Surely in those crowds with thousands of people, there was somebody there like you. Do you think? Somebody who was not quite good enough, like you. See, I just like to throw in this. In the ministry of Jesus, every person who was ever healed in the ministry of Jesus was a sinner, dead in their trespasses and sins. Not one person that ever was healed in the ministry of Jesus had been born again. That's pretty interesting. Because all the people who don't feel good enough to be healed, look at that. The only thing that can make you good enough is the blood of Jesus, and not one of them had that. So look, that just shows you the incredible, amazing mercy of God and how much he wants people. Well, he's willing to heal sinful people. I mean, there's a huge, huge statement right there, right? Luke 4, Jesus got up at the beginning of his ministry and announced what he was here for. And he said, I'm here to heal. And let's just turn over and read in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, if you have that in your Bible. Otherwise, we have it on the screen. Verse 17, Jesus came down with them. He stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people. See, you need to remember, there were always these big masses, groups of people coming to get something from him. From all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, these people who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. That's interesting. People didn't just come to hear Jesus because he was a great teacher. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that reject Jesus as the Christ. They reject him as the Savior, but they accept him as a great teacher. But Jesus, he wasn't famous just for being a great teacher. Because these people, they didn't just come to hear him. They came to be healed of their diseases. And it's really sad to me how many people come to hear those who represent him, but they only come to hear and they don't come to be healed. And we, as the people that are doing the delivering, have done a huge wrong, you know, we've really just created a big, big problem because we have conditioned people to only expect to hear and we haven't conditioned them to expect to be healed. But when people came to hear Jesus, they expected to be healed. In fact, some people didn't even come to hear him. They just came to be healed. The woman with issue blood, she just came to get healed. She wasn't even there to hear. See, that just goes against all of the thinking that people have about Jesus. You understand? Because the Sermon on the Mount was awesome. But that same guy that gave the Sermon on the Mount, he had many people who came just to be healed. And he didn't say to them, naughty, naughty, you weren't here when I said all the Beatitudes. And so you aren't going to get healed. Did he? No, if they came to hear, they were taught. If they came to be healed, they were healed. If they came to hear and be healed, they got both. That's how God is. He gives you whatever you need, whatever you got faith to receive, he'll give it to you. This is pretty good for Wednesday night. Just telling you. All right. I don't have to go through the Gospels and tell you the different kinds of miracles Jesus did. Why don't you just help me? We can get through this quick. What did Jesus do? Tell me some of the miracles Jesus performed as far as people's bodies. Blind eyes. Leprosy. Deaf ears. Raised the dead. Do what? Healed the cripple. One of my favorite stories is the man that had the withered hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. I love that. Woman with issue of blood. Yeah, the crazy man who was all messed up in his mind so bad he was cutting himself. The madman of Gadara. Broken hearts. Paralyzed man, the man that came down through the roof. Leprosy. Yeah, but the Bible says that every kind of sickness and disease. Fevers. Peter's mother-in-law with the fever. Absolutely. So, I mean, he healed. And then, so you can find a specific one, but you can just find them all. And then if that's not enough, go to Deuteronomy 28:61. And then that just covered everything that's in there and that is to come. It's all covered. So there's not like this special category of, and I tell you, I think we do. We get, these are easy things and these are hard things. But to Jesus, he never said, okay, I want the really tough cases to line up right here. And we're going to have to do some extra stuff with you. And all the easy ones over here, we'll just let Peter and John work on y'all. And then we want the really hard cases. There's no record of that. It just says they came to hear and be healed, and they were. And they were all healed. And we don't even know that he laid hands on all of them. Some people just got healed as they heard, because you can get healed as you hear, because there's healing in hearing the word. And I have been healed many more times hearing the word than I have through having hands laid on me. Anybody else? So that's a really good way to be healed here, but that's another night. We'll talk about that. Okay. We're almost to the end. We got to finish on time. Nate's back there. He'll come up here and bong me. All right. I think that what I'm going to do, I'll just tell you this. It didn't end with Jesus. Because we had the day of Pentecost. And the next thing we see after the events of the day of Pentecost and all those people getting saved was Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful. And what were they doing? They were healing a man who just was looking up wanting a quarter. A man who wanted a quarter, who could not walk, got up and walked, and he leapt, and he gave God praise. So it continued, and then you go through Acts, and there they are. They're doing the same thing. You see them doing the same things Jesus did. Why? Because Mark 16 said they would. Because John 14:12 said they would. Write those down if you don't know those. Okay, so that happened. Now, I just want to spend the last couple of minutes, and I want to say to you this. Jesus is still healing today. There's always been healing in God's plan. And there's still healing today for people, for every person. There is no record anywhere in the New Testament of healing passing away. There's no date given. On this day, God's healing power expires, used by. It's not in there. There's no record of it. And I don't know where people, but there are whole denominations of people who have been thoroughly convinced that it passed away. But it didn't. It's a lie. Grayson preached on deception a couple weeks ago. It's a deception. A great fraud has been committed against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. People have just received this lie and they bought into it and they think, well, it's all passed away. But it hasn't. And let me tell you this. If ever one person has been healed that you have any knowledge of, any that you've read about, that you've seen anywhere, if there, God has ever intervened in the life and the physical being of a person, that in itself is evidence that it didn't pass away. If anybody has ever experienced it since the supposed, you know, expiration date, if even one person has ever been healed, that proves in itself it hasn't passed away. Because if it was going to pass away, it would all be gone. And it's interesting that those very people who say it's passed away are the same people who have really long prayer lists where we're supposed to pray for all these people who are in the hospital so that God will do something for them. If you really carried their theology out to the nth, what we should be praying is, God, kill them now. Because he's the one that made them sick and healing's passed away. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. That's good preaching, Jana. All right. If it was ever his will to heal, it is still his will to heal now. Because Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord and I do not change. And Jesus is the same. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't know where all this got started, except I know it was the devil. Now here's a couple of other reasons. When the guy at the gate called Beautiful was healed, and Peter and John had to give testimony and you know, give an explanation for what happened, they said, it's not by our godliness or our power that this man was healed. It's through the name of Jesus and faith in that name that he was healed. Do we still have the name of Jesus? It's interesting. These people that think healing's passed away, these very people pray in the name of Jesus. But the Bible says that there is healing in that name. The name that we use to let God know we're about to say amen. I think that some people, they think that's why we pray in the name of Jesus, is we're just letting God know that the amen is coming. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're just kind of prepping heaven to know. Y'all can shut down the speaker. In the name of Jesus, okay, he's signing off now. It's like a sign off, like Roger. Okay, Roger out. Roger comes before out. Roger out. Okay, in the name of, I think that's what people think because they don't seem to understand what it means. But if you ever understand the power in the name of Jesus, the fact that we even have the right to give voice to that name, that we can use that name, that we have access to that name, that we have salvation. And people believe their salvation in his name. Well, if there's salvation in that name and there's still salvation in that name, there is healing and there is still healing and there will always be healing in that name. All right. Do we still have believers? Mark 16 said signs would follow believers. As long as we have believers, we're going to have signs following believers. And then finally, as I close, last thing I want to say is, why wouldn't God heal today? Why wouldn't he heal today? Is he still God? Does he still love people? Are people still sick? Well, then why wouldn't he heal? Amen. Y'all stand. Y'all about to get me riled up. Father, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. If you need healing tonight, there was enough of the word for healing to come forward. Just thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for healing in our bodies. Thank you, Father, that the word is going into us. We receive it with gladness. We receive healing tonight. We just draw forth that. And Father, I pray for all of us that not only would we receive it, but just the words that we have heard here tonight, that healing's working in us. And now we have been loaded, just like we could load a gun. We have been loaded with healing for others. And Father, I pray for all of us there'd be opportunities and open doors where we can unleash on others what you have so generously poured out on us. and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.